This is John Piper Watch. Pastor Michael, we are here doing an urgent recording of the Restless Podcast. The Restless Podcast we all need right now to talk about a clip you may not have seen. Maybe you did. We'll see if it starts going around. Instead of being far behind everything in the world of the YRR, today we've decided we're gonna be on the cutting edge. We are gonna discuss a comment that was made at ShepCon 2024, as they like to call it, which happened March 6th through the 8th. Are you ready for John Piper Watch?
I don't know. Piper Watch, this is fun. Piper Watch. Get back to a watch.
That's right.
Back to watching. Yeah. So I've not actually heard any of this or heard the clip. I just saw some people comment about it. And as is my custom at this point, I just skip over those things and wait till you bring them up.
It's probably fair. So, Pastor Michael, I don't know if we've ever done a specific John Piper watch before. Yeah,
I don't remember either. We probably have. Remind us if we have, and we just don't remember. We've done a lot talking about Piper and some of his things. So
is there anything you would, obviously, John Piper, the man with no regrets, is one of the grandfather figures of the YRR. Someone, I talked the last time we put an episode up about how I did not listen to much Alistair Begg. I did listen to plenty of John Piper. It could be, again, being from the Midwest, he's obviously, he probably regionally was actually the closest one of these leaders to where I lived. And so I know lots of people who are very personally invested and have benefited from him. But is there anything you'd like to say before we go to this clip?
No, I mean, like you, I listen to more Piper for sure, but probably not near as much as a lot of guys. I was just really on that Driscoll train for a long time, and then RC Sproul train, and maybe went a different way. Where I would listen to Piper from time to time, but it definitely was not where I ended up spending a lot of my time. But like you're saying, because of where we grew up, I had a lot of connections there, right? I mean, I went to Bethlehem Baptist. I not as a member, not regularly, but I visited from time to time, and I knew many folks that were connected there to the church or to the seminary, and still know people that are part of the church there. So obviously had a lot of connections in that way. Definitely read a lot of Piper too.
Really? Because it felt to me like, no shade to Pastor John Piper, that most of his books had one primary message that was actually based on the Westminster, a slight rewrite of the Westminster Catechism question one.
Yeah.
That every single book's message was that.
Yeah, it really is. I mean, you read one and you really got them all. That's true.
Now, Pastor Michael, is it safe to say that we are going to come down as the true third way about John Piper? That probably. We are not going to join the people who are literally ready to chase him out of town with pitchforks, or it would also probably not be the case that we would say Christian hedonism, it changed our lives. And it
is great. I hope so. I hope we can come down in that way. Cause I don't want to, I mean, I have no desire to be a, Piper basher. And, there is a thing going on right now. We're particularly young men who are getting excited about certain ideas, whatever they may be. They're looking back at some of these men who have had good legacies of faith, right? Like who have been faithful, who have ministered to us, who have benefited the church greatly, But where they have missteps, they want to destroy them and say they have nothing for us anymore. And that's just the spirit of the age, right? The spirit of the age is one of tearing down statues and tearing down history in the past and those who have come before. And that happens just as much on, you know, the right as the left within the church. And so we should be aware of that. And we don't want to fall into that. But will we laugh? Probably. I mean,
no.
That's really the third way. The restless third way is we will do our best to represent and even defend at times a position, but we reserve the right to laugh as much as we want to.
If a day comes where I have to stop having a good time on this podcast, it better be because I'm becoming a ShepCon speaker and I have to be serious all the time at that point. Pastor Michael, there is something that you and I perhaps should try and learn from John Piper. I don't know if you know this, but his most recent book released is called Ask Pastor John. And they turned his date, I think it was 750 of his podcast episodes on that thing, into a book. Wow. And so speaking from the cuff in these questions in that podcast, he turned it into a book. Now that is something perhaps we need to learn from.
It's impressive. Him. Hey, we've started, everybody. We started very briefly, like a couple years ago, getting some thoughts about Calvinism and some other things that we had been working through together in book form. And then it just stalled because we don't have a lot of time. And so it just stopped. If you want a restless book, just, you know, let us know.
Oh, this is actually, before we start, let me pause our news update for two beautiful announcements. Number one, today, when this watch is releasing, Pastor Michael, would you agree with me that perhaps the greatest Mark Driscoll reaction we've ever done is releasing to the Patreon?
Ever. It was the best. It was the most fun, and it was the best one.
So if you have ever thought about paying the $3 to become a patron, this would be the month to try it. I think there are even some free trials offered. I would find a way to get yourself behind that paywall for that. Number two, my Iowa State Cyclones currently, this is just a thing for me, are currently number six in the nation as of this recording. And if you would like to do a March Madness bracket, I would be willing to host a restless one because I would enjoy doing one this year. But I also have taken a statement against gambling in a confession, and most brackets that are done involve some form of gambling. So if you would like to have a gambling-free restless NCAA bracket, contact me on Twitter or patrons. Let me know if there are more than three of us who will do it. Otherwise, just go find a way to bootleg whatever you have to do. Get that Driscoll reaction. So Pastor Michael, Pastor John spoke at ShepCon, as he does. So ShepCon is the conference at John MacArthur's church. And so John Piper was speaking there, and he, based on the clip, which I heard, it sounds like he's kind of giving the talk that God put him on earth to give, but he made some interesting comments. And Pastor Michael, you will have to decide. We're not going to jump on board with these comments, but I want to talk to you about what potential kind of problem is related in this context. And we could grant it's just a complete misspeak, right? Maybe that's the case, but we will find out. And so let's pull up the clip here. This is from, I don't know who this guy is. I don't know, but one of J-Max Axman said, this guy is not someone to be taken seriously. And so I have no idea. He's just sharing a clip. So this is John Piper's a clip from his ShepCon 2024 sermon. 41 seconds. We'll let him go all the way through.
What are we after in our people's lives? And everybody said, obedience. So did I. Amen. But you had already quoted, if you love me, you will obey me. I'm thinking, I'm after love, folks. And you are too. And because that love is not equal to obedience, and that love is not equal to agape. That love is erotic to the core. That's an overstatement. Eros means I find pleasure in you, Jesus. I find pleasure in you, Jesus. You are my preciousness. And there comes obedience.
So, Pastor Michael, perhaps...
That wasn't as bad as, by the way, that it seems like people are taking it online when I've seen.
Pastor Michael...
Because he says it's a misstep.
Well, I'm going to go... So, Pastor Michael, you can start with the happy, good time group. Perhaps I'll start with the... It might be... I do think I want to grant it is very likely it is going to become a fun bandwagon to hop on and bash a pastor. Yep. And if you're a younger man, that's a bad look. I am going to say that I think this is worse than just a misspeak, though. And then we'll come back to how this even fits into an emphasis from Piper and where it can go wrong. So, Pastor Michael, the reason I think this is worse than a misspeak is, right, so he says, right, he's talking about those classic verses in John, right, where Jesus says, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. And he says that love, right, is not equal to obedience. He's right. Love of God is not the same thing as obedience. Jesus is differentiating them. He's actually saying, obviously, you don't love me if you don't obey. And we, you know, this love, as Pastor John's point is, a true love of God will produce obedience, right? And so we, as he's speaking to pastors, need to preach love. We need to preach about loving God, why God, we should love him, why we should delight in Jesus. By the way, that message that God basically has put John Piper on earth to preach is a good message. All of that is good, right? He then says two things. He says that love is not equal to agape, using a Greek word. He says that love is erotic to the core. That's where he says, okay, that is an overstatement.
Yeah.
I will grant that is an overstatement.
Yeah.
He says that's an overstatement. And then he says, eros, the love of Jesus is taking pleasure in him. He goes back to it though.
Yeah.
And so what did little old me do when I heard this clip? I went,
go look up.
Oh my goodness. I was like, dude, if in this verse in John 14, 15, Jesus it used the eros. Word eros to describe the love of God, obviously we would know there would be no sexual connotation there.
Yep.
But I'm like, wow.
It'd be fascinating.
It would be right. Very evocative, yep. Because especially in John's gospel, everyone knows the stories where John will switch between different words for love.
Yep.
And it's like, it's very instructive. And I don't know what it all means, but it certainly has like in-depth meaning. And so I went, wow. And the other reason I trusted Pastor John was this. The dude is like, the two things, if you know anything about John Piper, one, he's an excitable person. Two, he's going to say God is most glorified in you when you are most delighted in him. Three, the dude loves Greek, man. The dude loves Greek. And so I went to the Greek. And I was really surprised to find that the verb was ein agapete.
Yeah.
That the verb was agape.
It is
that agape. The love, in fact, equals agape.
Mm-hmm.
And then too, I was like, okay, well, where else in the New Testament is the word eros used? I'll look for every use of it. Interesting fact for everyone. The word eros is actually never used in the New Testament.
Yep.
Even though it was one of the most common words in the ancient world at the time.
Yeah.
Isn't it fascinating? The New Testament writers avoid the term completely in all of their writing, even when they describe a positive marital relationship.
Yeah. Super interesting.
Oh, so
dude,
interesting.
There is a fantastic essay that somebody needs to work through. I mean, that's a really interesting thing.
Not John Piper. Because
I wonder here, let me stick up for him.
I did all the work this morning to try. I started with you were, I'm gonna I'm going to learn.
My sticking up for him, by the way, is not in any way to Kadoe saying, because I think that probably he's going down a road that is an obvious mistake that somebody who's into Christian hedonism would make, right? Like the guy who like coined Christian hedonism and like that's his whole thing. Yeah, this is actually where it's going to lead you. And so I think that's probably the problem. So any of my defending is not defending what he says necessarily. I just wonder if in this 40-second clip, I wonder if he's already, I haven't gone back, I haven't done the work. This is literally the first time I've heard this. I wonder if he has been, you know, trying to work something else, that this is an angle that he's working on where he's not saying necessarily, oh, this is what the Greek is in that passage. He's actually jumping in the middle of a different thought, mentioned the, you know, if you love me, you'll do what I command. And then moving on, you know, like just that's the in-between club. I don't know. I have no idea. And so if somebody wants to actually go and listen to this, I probably won't take the time to do that, but I just want to defend him up on that ground. Like maybe he's saying something else, but let's just take the clip as it is. I have no problem doing that too.
And what we don't need to do again, I hope that like my instinct, like that the process I went through to come to my position shows I like came at this at a very high level.
That'd be interesting.
Yeah, like I came at this when I didn't see the clip and went, oh, this horrible, gross man. Yeah. I went, whoa, weird. I'm going to go figure out what he's talking about and learned nothing. Like I learned he's not talking about something.
Well, you did learn something. That's interesting.
I did. I learned something very interesting.
I didn't realize that eros is not used in the New Testament.
The two most common Greek terms for love in the ancient world were eros, and the other one is storge, which describes the sort of love you are required to have for your like immediate family members, like what we might call natural relations. That word is used, I think, once in the New Testament, but it's fascinating. They go out of their way and they don't use the common terms for love.
Yeah, interesting.
It's interesting. But Pastor Michael, you made an interesting comment. You said using this kind of framing. Now I'll come back to the kind of love actually that John Piper I think is talking about in a positive way, and we can talk about why we still shouldn't use these kinds of words. But first, yeah. You said this is the kind of error you would expect from that is at least related to or would be natural to Christian hedonism. What did you mean by that?
Yeah, so if you just take, you know, the idea of Christian hedonism, which obviously in its ideal framing, in the most positive framing that you could give it, is God-centered, right? It's supposed to be God-centered. But because it's hedonism, it almost always turns on personal pleasure, personal enjoyment. And that being the case, it kind of loses sometimes its God-centeredness. And so it starts to, focus on, well, what are the things that I like? This is why, by the way, the guys, and this is true of Piper, it's true of a lot of folks that kind of follow after and love the Christian hedonism idea. They very much emphasize their personal emotional experience as central to the Christian life, right? As the center in a lot of ways, because it's what they feel, right? Like what you feel is everything. And Piper can be a helpful corrective to guys who have maybe too much of a stoicism bent. But I would argue that that's not probably the primary bent in most of us in our cultural situation. We actually are very natural hedonists. We grow up being taught that what we desire and want and enjoy should drive us in every way. And that pleasure is this kind of the centerpiece of life and our lives. But if you take that, you know, Christian hedonism and you plop it down into just our cultural context, well, where where is it that you seek personal pleasure? Erotic love, right? Like that's eroticism. That is a mainstay in hedonism. And so it, to make the jump then to say, well, you know, to say, well, this is Christian hedonism, it makes sense that you would follow through with that and take the idea of erotic pleasure and put that as a mainstay in the relationship between an individual and God. And that's not good. That's actually dangerous, but it's not, it's also not new. It's not new to Christian hedonism.
Right.
This I mean, we talked about this whenever we talked about, what was that one?
Oh yeah.
The weird book and article that came out from the Keller Center for a Keller Center watch.
Yep.
That weird one that came out that was all about, like, you know, specific sexual erotic pleasure and how that relates directly to our relationship to Christ. It was true in a lot of, you know, kind of the medieval mysticism that you find the same idea. It's not new. It is something that you could expect from different, you know, ideas, but it's definitely something that you can see coming out of Christian hedonism, I think.
Yeah. As we said there, that again, one of the reasons there is this temptation and the tendency to make this jump, that in the most broad ways, the way sexual intimacy and this kind of delight points to a kind of delight in intimacy and relationship with another is a thing that, in a very general sense, points us to a kind of fulfillment we can have with others. But the really important thing is, one, the New Testament does not ever use this as a direct analogy for our relationship with God. Two, Christ even makes that kind of human experience, there's a break with that when we get to heaven. Marriage doesn't exist anymore. Angels don't have this kind of relationship, and we will be like them. Right? It has a specific creational and embodied it exists now, right? Just like certain kinds of striving against sin exist now that won't exist in heaven. Heaven's not diminished because those things are there, because they have a time and place in this time, and obviously they have a time and place in this time because of being fruitful and multiplying.
And just having to understand that there are things that are higher, right? Yeah. Like that are better, right? So there are things that are good, and then there's higher goods, greater goods, in the way that God made the world. And I think what happens sometimes is that, you know, a lot of Christian hedonism and these sorts of things is reacting against a kind of Gnosticism. Mm. But I think what it does a lot of the time is it just replaces it with a new kind. Or at least it seems to me that I've seen this happen before, right? So there's a kind of Gnosticism that maybe says, you know, hey, you know, there's no enjoyment, pleasure, any of that kind of stuff that should be seen in the Christian life. It's not something that, you know, it's all obedience as opposed to love. It's, you know, it dichotomizes things maybe along those lines, where it's all duty. It's all denial of oneself, denial of the body, denial of any kind of joy or pleasure that you might get out of something. But to react against that and then say, well, actually, it's all about those things, right? It's all about the pleasure, enjoyment that you receive from these things. It's not to say that that's not involved. It's to say that it's actually a category error to make that the center, right? It's a category error, and it just continues a new kind of Gnosticism, right? When you think about, you know, old school Gnosticism, it usually involved either a kind of highly ascetic type practice, right, where it was a pure denial of the body, try to, you know, remove all bodily desires and urges, go and, you know, remove yourself from society, force yourself into a situation where maybe you're getting the bare minimum of food and bare minimum of human interaction and bare minimum of water and bare minimum of whatever to try to, you know, remove those needs that you have and be less dependent upon them. But there was also a flip side, where some Gnostics would say, well, because there are, you know, these things that matter more, this kind of secret knowledge revelation, and that the body, the physical world is not good or right. And it also doesn't really matter. And so we can go and we can do whatever we want with our bodies. Yes. Anything that we enjoy in body, we can do it because it doesn't ultimately matter. And I know that's not what Christian hedonism does. It's not what I'm saying, but I do think it moves you in one of those directions a lot of the time. And so focusing on personal enjoyment and pleasure as the centerpiece of the Christian life, what that usually leads to, especially in an undisciplined and extremely narcissistic age like we're in, what that actually does is it just allows you to give an excuse for doing whatever you already wanted, whatever you already enjoyed, whatever you already, you know, think is great. And then we begin to use, you know, personal erotic love and other things like that as the analogy for what your relationship to Christ is like. Well, that does go too far.
And again, this is why specific and special theological language exists, because the kind of love John Piper is talking about actually does have a name in technical theology. It's called the complacent or holy complacent love of God. Obviously, it's not being used. And again, this is what I believe John Piper most helpfully exist to talk about, and I want him to talk about it, because but again part of the thing is like we may need to have like right I maybe the again the branding the complete sweet com- holy complacent love is not as good as Christian hedonism, because obviously for us today complacency communicates like a not caring, laziness, right? That kind of a thing. But this complacency, as it was used in theology, I'm pretty sure it's in Edwards, so I know Piper is getting it. It's just like a settled position of complete satisfaction in another, that is findable. And it is, first we see it in the picture of God the Father, his pleasure in the Son. They are completely satisfied in their relationship of love for each other, and that the ultimate kind of love we are seeking in God is a love that finds my complete satisfaction not in what he does for me, not in all of these like potential benefits, but in who he is. And that is the love John Piper is describing and has spent his ministry trying to promote, and that's a good thing, and we should rejoice when people find that right through his ministry, when he promotes that in his ministry. But that love is probably a lot more like agape. Pastor Michael, I hope this John Piper watch was helpful to you. I think it was helpful. I think this was great. Personally, I enjoyed this conversation.
Good for us. Yeah. Wow. I thought we were great. I thought we did a great job.
I got a text message while we were recording it. I know no one else can hear us while we're recording live, but I just got this text message from someone saying, I so appreciate you handling this John Piper clip right now. And that's just from an anonymous person who must have hacked our private recording. And I just got a text from them. So everybody, we will see you later this week with a normal episode.